From the KERA newsroom, I'm Sam Baker. Podcasters gathered in Fort Worth over the weekend to learn about the craft. More on that in a few minutes. First, our top story. Today, we'll learn details of charges against Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton. A Collin County grand jury indictment announced over the weekend relates to allegations of first-degree felony securities fraud. Last year, Paxton admitted soliciting clients for an investment company without being registered with the State Securities Board. If Paxton is convicted, he could face a sentence as long as life in prison. Not a Vital Signs, our weekly look at real-life health issues. The medical journal Pediatrics recently published study results on a new tool developed to help doctors identify shaken baby syndrome in infants. Dr. Glenn Hardesty's witnessed such cases as an emergency room physician at Texas Health Arlington Memorial. He explains how the new tool could help.
The cases that I've seen can range from mild cognitive defects all the way up to death. I've seen children that have died from shaken baby syndrome.
These are cases that have come into the emergency room.
Yes. Very difficult to pick up. Oftentimes with the with abuse, there's parts of the story that don't always make sense. And that comes from that sense comes from doing this for a long time. And it's hard to teach that to young doctors and young practitioners.
So it's something that without experience could go unrecognized.
It could go unrecognized.
So there is a new test for abusive head trauma. How does this work?
There are six things that we look for: retinal hemorrhages, rib fractures, long bone fractures, apnea, seizures, and bruising around the head and neck.
This isn't something that doctors check for routinely now?
Well, you wouldn't routinely check for rib fractures. You'd have to pick it up on an x-ray. And for the other long bone fractures and rib fractures, you do what's called a skeletal survey. It's an x-ray that looks at an overview of the child. We don't routinely do that because it's not indicated for every child that comes in the door.
At what point would you
use that? When you begin to suspect the story isn't matching with the patient. I can think of a case where I had a child with a long bone fracture, and what the parent was telling me didn't make sense. It was a long bone fracture on a child that shouldn't have had a long bone fracture because they didn't walk.
So the point of bringing all of this up then, is it purely for medical concerns? Is it for legal concerns?
Because of the nature of the accusation, you have to be pretty certain on what you're seeing and your reasons for, you know, calling it child abuse. The tool allows us to do that and say, hey, I have a patient that has long bone fractures, rib fractures, and or a retinal hemorrhage. I need to investigate this further, and I have just cause for doing it. The abusive head trauma criteria tend to be things that show ongoing traumatic injury. When you see rib fractures, that indicates that there had been trauma before, or it was significant trauma to cause rib fractures. Children that are not walking should not have long bone fractures. You shouldn't break your femur when you're 6 months old. Breaking of one of the leg bones is a long way from the head. What it indicates is there's a pattern of abuse. So that's what these indicators are predictive of, an ongoing abusive situation.
In the meantime, what can be done to prevent abusive head trauma?
There is no excuse for injury in a child, just to lay that out. The reasons people might do it would be they're frustrated. Oftentimes, it's people, they just have reached their breaking point. If you're feeling overwhelmed, they do have the safe places for children. If you can't care for the child, certainly they can find a good home for the child. Or if you just need to step back for a minute, and when a child's crying, it's certainly as a parent you want to go fix it. If you need the time to step back yourself, take that time so that you don't find yourself in that situation.
Dr. Hardesty, thank you for being with me.
Thank you, Sam. Appreciate it as always.
Dr. Glenn Hardesty is an emergency room physician at Texas Health Arlington Memorial Hospital. About 1,000 people from across the country gathered in Fort Worth over the weekend for the Podcast Movement Conference. It was dedicated to all things podcasting, from the superstars who get millions of listeners every week to some pretty obscure shows. KERA's Stephen Becker was there.
Roman Mars is a star in this crowd. 99% Invisible, his 5-year-old architecture and design podcast, has been downloaded more than 30 million times. And even he recognized the one true giant of the podcasting world during his talk to an overflowing ballroom on Saturday.
When Serial invented podcasting last year, I was a little jealous.
Sarah Koenig, who created Serial, gave the keynote speech at the Omni Hotel yesterday. Few here can even dream of her 80 million downloads. Some would be happy with 80.
My name is Yvette Strand. The podcast is going to be launched in October, and it's called the Chameleon Breeder Podcast, and it's a super niche.
Strand was in town from Orange County, California, and breeding chameleons is a family business. A lot of people were here to learn how to pull in customers through podcasting.
Well, certainly our podcasts that we produce are marketing tools for our website.
Tyrone Jackson was also in from Southern California. He's got a pair of podcasts, one about trading stocks and another called Six Figure Voice, which is aimed at voiceover actors.
Not everybody likes to read these days, and a lot of people consume information via audio. So for us, it made sense as a marketing tool, but we can get out a lot of information to anybody interested in a specific subject very, very quickly.
All this focus on the business of podcasting attracted plenty of vendors. More than 24 booths lined the hallways, hawking everything from microphones to marketing help.
You know, really the tactics that we teach are all about customers.
We are an email marketing platform for small to mid-sized businesses.
There was even someone pitching something called the Podcaster's Paradise Cruise, setting sail this November. Yet for all the people who wanted to learn how to make money from talking, there was also some who just wanted to learn how to be heard.
My name is Michelle Matthews Calloway. I'm from Lafayette, Louisiana, and the name of my podcast is The Swirl World Podcast. Our target audience is Black women and the diverse men who love them.
She's been producing the show for a little over a year. That's 83 episodes.
I love the medium. I love to be able to talk to people all over the world and for them to hear my voice.
Calloway's story was common at the conference. Plenty of the podcasters were also bloggers. And for them, the best connection to their audience is through an earbud. Stephen Becker, KERA News.
From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sam Baker.